When the time had come for the Lord Jesus to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Today we remember his triumphal entry into the city as king, as the prophets had foretold. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, at the opening of our worship, we seek your help. We seek to approach with reverence the meditation of those wonderful acts by means of which you have given us life and immortality. Be with us and help us, Lord. We take a humble position in your presence because we know our unworthiness, we know our sin. Jesus came to show us the way of life, but we stray from it repeatedly. We're proud to belong to the Christian church, but not enthusiastic enough in living the Christian life. We've shied away from the Christian way because it is the way of the cross. Help us to know in our heart that it is the only way to the crown. Forgive our failure and help us to make a new beginning. Help us in these holy days to enter into the state which the psalmist called the secret place of the Most High. Help us to know that we'll live in your presence, Lord. Let the noise of the world be hushed so that we may hear your voice. Teach us to do as Jesus did, to lay down our life so that we may find it again. Bring us into the fellowship of that love which endured the cross, despising the shame. The love we know in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 367, Hosanna, loud Hosanna, 367.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, at verse 13. Isaiah, chapter 52, at verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has delivered our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life into death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, at verse 1. Matthew, chapter 21, at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 365, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty," 365.
Thank you.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 10. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city went wild with excitement. With Palm Sunday, we come to the events which lead directly to the crucifixion of Jesus. What we see in those few days between Palm Sunday and Easter is a dramatic course of events. There's a remarkable change of scene, change of atmosphere between the beginning of the week and the end of it. And yet there is a kind of inevitability about the whole thing. We get the feeling that it was all bound to happen, the only possible outcome. That's when we look at the whole series of events in perspective. We're in a position to do that. But for the moment, we're considering the events of Palm Sunday. It wasn't the first time this kind of welcome had been extended. About 200 years previously, the city of Jerusalem had been captured and the temple had been desecrated and used for the worship of other gods. Then the rulers of Israel, the Maccabees, had recaptured it and restored the temple to its former glory. There was ritual cleansing and purification and an occasion of thanksgiving. The people lined the streets, singing their psalms and waving their palm branches. There can be no doubt that Jesus had this in mind as he entered the city on this celebrated occasion. Practically the same thing was happening, which had happened 200 years previously. And to complete the picture, one of the first things Jesus did this first Holy Week was to go into the temple and drive out those who in one way or another were profaning it, just the same as the Maccabees had done. On their way into Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples had stopped where there were two villages, Bethphage and Bethany. Jesus went into one of these villages, sending his disciples on ahead to get the donkey. We know Jesus had friends in Bethany. That was where Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus lived. Jesus probably knew a number of people there and had very likely made arrangements for borrowing the donkey. The disciples were to go and get it, and if anyone challenged them, they were to say the master needs it, a kind of password they were to give. This was the time of the Passover festival, a great religious occasion. It was the duty of every adult male Jew to attend the celebrations in Jerusalem if he lived within 20 miles. Others would come too if they could. Everyone wanted to be there at least once in a lifetime. Every year, therefore, there would be crowds. And this particular year was no example, was no exception. When we think about the things which attract crowds to our cities nowadays, it's not so very often that crowds come for a religious occasion. The Pope visited Scotland in 1982, and that brought some crowds together, but we don't see that kind of thing very often. So there were crowds in Jerusalem. The people were in a mood of excited expectancy. There was an optimism about. For many a year, they'd been looking forward to the day when a Messiah would arrive. And there was a growing feeling that the time was coming near. People were maybe not clear about exactly what to expect, but they were expecting something. Into this kind of situation then came Jesus, making a planned and deliberate move, presenting himself as one who came in the name of peace, riding on a colt. The people received him like a king. They spread their garments on the ground in front of him. They waved their palm branches and they shouted, "Hosanna." Hosanna is the cry of people awaiting their deliverer. And so it was that Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem on this Passover occasion. It was a marvelous reception he was given by the people with their palm branches and their hosannas. But Jesus knew that Jerusalem was a hostile city. The people might be glad to see him, But the authorities, well, they were glad for a different reason. They were looking for an opportunity to destroy him. His presence in the city at the time of this religious festival gave them their chance. Jesus could have avoided it all. He could have come into Jerusalem by some back way. He could have remained hidden until it was safer to appear in public. Or if it never got safer, he could have gone quietly away again. His disciples would have helped him to do that. So would the friends he had in the area. But Jesus didn't hide himself away. He went boldly forward to do the work he had to do, knowing all the while that it would lead to his death. That is the Jesus whom we follow. That is the Lord to whom we belong. That is the kind of courage that's asked of us. We may not have to face death at the hands of enemies, but we do have to face a hostile world, a world which doesn't want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, a world which doesn't want to know us if we stand up for him. And so there comes to us quite clearly the message of Palm Sunday. There comes the call for courage. Life has its way of presenting us with the challenge, bringing us to the situations which call for courage. For some of us, it may be something dramatic. For others of us, the challenge may come more quietly, but nonetheless insistently, in times when we're alone and when we feel very much alone. Whenever and however the challenge comes, the Lord can make us ready for it. He can give to us the courage that we need, the courage to go on doing what has to be done, facing whatever the outcome may be. Jesus showed courage. And also Jesus made his claim by his way of entering Jerusalem, by his acceptance of the people's welcome. He announced his claim to be the Messiah, the Anointed One. By his actions afterwards, he claimed to be the cleanser of the temple, as the Maccabees had been so many years earlier. Jesus could have played it down. He could have bided his time, waited to see if a more opportune time would come when he could make his claim without so much obvious danger. But no, Jesus went right ahead amid all the danger. Jesus could have watered down his claim. He could have taken on some part-time disciples, using them only when they were not busy doing something else. He could have tried to introduce his new teaching little by little, as people might be ready to accept it into the framework of their existing routine. But no, Jesus claimed the loyalty and the allegiance of everyone completely and immediately. This is the claim which Jesus makes today. He claims to be the one who saves, the one who answers the call of Hosanna, save now. He claims the allegiance and the devotion of every one of us. No half measures, no delay, no part-time disciples, all or nothing. And Jesus makes his appeal. Coming as he did, riding on a colt, he was evidently coming in peace, coming into the city as a king, but coming in peace. It was not the kingship of the throne that he was seeking, it was the kingship of the heart. And that is still his way. It's still as king of the hearts of men and women that he seeks to come into our life. There's Palm Sunday for us, the great occasion. The city full of people with an air of expectancy about Jesus making use of the occasion, showing himself as the Messiah, the one who responds to the call of Hosanna, save now. The one who comes as a king, but not in a temporal sense, not in a worldly sense, the king of the inner life. The city which received Jesus with a tumultuous welcome on Palm Sunday was the same city which crucified him before the week was out. A dramatic turnaround, a change of allegiance by those people who had been looking for the wrong kind of king, turned against him in their frustration and disappointment. But in a deeper sense, the crucifixion was there all the time. The seeds had been sown long ago. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. The Palm Sunday crowds didn't sway him away from that conviction. How does Jesus come into our life? Does he make use of a great occasion? Or does he come into our life in a quieter way, with no singing and waving, no announcement of his coming? However he comes with the same purpose as he came into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. He comes to be king, king in our hearts and minds, king in the inner life. So being a Christian comes to this as a climax, that we welcome him not only into our town, our church, our community. We welcome him into our life, not just into some convenient, insignificant corner of our life, into our whole life, today and every day. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, 160. Thank you. Almighty God, we thank you for your never-failing goodness with which you surround us. We thank you for all your giving, and supremely for your giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless us in our giving. Help us to give with love and with concern for the work which is undertaken in Jesus' name through the agency of your church here on earth. Receive and bless our material offerings, and inspire us to give to the uttermost in every way we can, so that Jesus may truly come as King. We think today of Jesus, the love which you showed to the world in him, the faithfulness with which he trod the way of suffering, the grace with which he endured the abuse and the viciously unkind treatment. We thank you for the cross he carried and the death he died, and the incalculable blessing which his faithfulness has brought to succeeding generations of men and women. We thank you for life as it is, for the blessings we enjoy in our own situation, the kindness of friends and the love of dear ones, the material benefits which humankind has derived from your bountiful gifts of raw material and skill, for the work which you call upon us to do as members of your church, the body of Christ in the world today. Lord, we pray for your church, for church members worshiping today. We pray for those who are leading worship and those who are involved in it, that all may see the glory of the suffering of Jesus Christ and be able with him to endure the scorn and rejection of this hostile world. We pray for our Queen and those in authority in this nation and other nations, that what is evil may be rooted out and righteousness may prevail throughout the world. In the name of him who accepted the hosannas of the children, we ask you to bless all children and direct those who teach them, so that they may learn to honor your name. We think of children in those parts of the world where there's not enough food, and where the skill and the equipment to produce enough food are still lacking. Be with your children in times of hardship, Lord. Be with those we know who are having their cross to bear. Be with our dear ones wherever they are, and guide us all in your service. Lord God, we thank you that although we do not understand the mysteries of your eternity, yet our lives are held in your hand and surrounded by your care. We thank you that we are part of that great fellowship which is the Christian Church in heaven and on earth. Help us to follow in the way shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Yes, friends, there is some detail now. With this being Holy Week, we have services each evening, and for most of them we combine with the congregation of Our Dear. The services will be in Our Dear Church tomorrow evening and on Good Friday evening. The services will be here in this church on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. And on Thursday evening, as usual, we combine not only with the Our Dear congregation, but with the congregation of the High Kirk. And this year the service is being held in the High Kirk. These services all this week will be at 6:30, except the one in the High Kirk on Thursday, which will be at 7 o'clock and will include the communion. So recapping on that, Monday and Friday in Our Dear Church at 6:30. Tuesday and Wednesday here at 6:30, and Thursday in the High Kirk at 7 o'clock. Friends, I thank you once again for all your kindness and support shown in many different ways over a long time. I've been with you quite a number of years now, and it's been a privilege, and I thank you for all your support. I've been a minister for quite a number of years too, an exact number of years in fact, because it was on the 9th of April that the Presbytery of Dundee, 59 years ago, ordained me to the ministry. and I'm thankful for all that that's made possible as well. So into the future we go, you and I. We don't know what the future holds, but we look forward to facing it together. And may we face it together for quite a while yet. God bless you all. Thank you. Now we close this service with hymn 515, Soldiers of Christ, Arise, 515. Passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.